Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry here on The Takeaway with Farai Chidea.
Hello.
And, bully pulpit. You know who coined that phrase, right?
No.
Theodore Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
And that other Roosevelt, FDR, used the bully pulpit of the presidency, at least as well as his ancestor, to mobilize Americans in time of crisis and to create a kind of a sentimental track for politics as legislation got done in Washington and the typical sort of backstabbing and political battles proceeded in the nation's capital. But suddenly, the bully pulpit has bandwidth in this century. The 21st century is all about multiple platforms for delivering messages to Americans. And today, President Obama is in Southern California doing a town meeting tour. He's also going to be on the Jay Leno show. He's going to be on 60 Minutes coming forward this weekend. There are any number of emails, Twitters, and chat rooms devoted to discussing White House policy, all managed, at least we're led to believe, by the wizards in the Obama administration. Jonathan Alter joins us, Newsweek columnist and author of The Defining Moment, FDR's 100 Days and the Triumph of Hope. First of all, Jonathan, it's great to talk to you again.
Hey, great talking to you, John.
And let's talk about that bandwidth of the bully pulpit. Number one, Obama seems to be good at this sort of thing, but he also has more tools at his disposal. What are the options and how's he doing?
Well, I think generally you have to say that he's doing quite well. And the highlight so far was that address to Congress where he communicated very effectively and performed the role of what I think of as teacher-in-chief or explainer-in-chief. And that's what Franklin Roosevelt did so well in his first 100 days and throughout his presidency on the radio. Obama is explicitly borrowing from FDR and recognizing that he has to master the media of his day, the way FDR mastered radio, in order to communicate his message and drive his program.
Are there missteps in history where people used a new medium but perhaps overplayed their hand, created a kind of presidential fatigue factor that repelled people and ultimately undermined policies?
You can sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, you know, and I do remember that Jimmy Carter at the beginning of his presidency, when television wasn't really a new medium anymore, he kind of went to the well one or two or three times too many and went on television so much that he was overexposed and it hurt his message. And that's something that Obama has to watch for. There's some people who have had experience in prior administrations who've told me that they think that he's in danger of being overexposed. But he has the internet as the medium that he's going to, I think, be seen as the president who mastered. He certainly did it during the campaign. The question now is whether he can use his web talents to get his program through, and that we don't know yet. You know, Roosevelt, the amazing thing about the way he mastered radio was that when he went on the air in the first week of his presidency for the first of those fireside chats, and he told people to take their money out from under the mattress and redeposit it in the banks as they reopened. As you know, they had a banking crisis that wasn't all that different from what we have today. And people did it. They actually, the same people who have been pushing each other out of the way to get the last of their money out of the banks before they closed a couple weeks earlier, now listened to the president and went and redeposited their money, and that saved the banking system in 1933. Obama has not yet shown that he can do that with this new medium, but I think we'll find out when the budget comes up and when health care and energy and the rest of his legislation comes up, whether those 13 million names that email addresses that he gathered during the campaign can be mobilized as what would be the most potent political organization ever created.
Hey, Jonathan, you know, very much along the lines of what you're saying, they are really trying. Obama for America became something called Organizing for America, keeping, as the New York Times references, the OFA initials and trying to make people mobilize now around the budget. But the question is, what do people want? Some people really think that President Obama should take a more progressive agenda. Some people feel that he should be much less focused on recalibrating the tax system and dealing with people who got tax breaks in the Bush years. One of the things he was able to do, obviously, was pull together people with different political ideologies. What are we hearing? I mean, he's giving these sort of fireside chats, but is there any sense that the coalition, which has kept his approval ratings high, might fracture? And if so, why?
Well, we don't know. And it's one of the great, dramas of the first year. They have focused what they want folks to do. And last week, David Plouffe, who was Obama's campaign manager, sent out a mass email asking people to pledge to support the president on three key issues, energy, health care, and education. Now, that's, of course, on top of the number one issue right now, which is the economy. But he doesn't really need to go to Congress for anything right now on the economy, because they got the stimulus through, and they have, through the Fed, they have billions of dollars that they're going to be using to try to prop up our financial system. But these other three issues, and I think we now have a pretty good idea of where he stands on those three issues. He wants fundamental health care reform. He wants some kind of a cap and trade system or other very aggressive energy policy to move us to a green economy, and he wants big changes in our education system, where he sides with the reformers. So that does give some tone and to what the agenda is, and gives people something to sink their teeth into. What we don't know yet, Fry, is whether they will, and whether those people who got so energized last year will still want to come and participate this year and contact their members of Congress.
Well, and whether there will be the political capital to get this done once the AIG and stimulus mess is all
right
behind us, if it ever does get behind us. Jonathan Alter, author of The Defining Moment, FDR's 100 Days and the Triumph of Hope, Newsweek columnist, talking about the bandwidth of the bully pulpit as President Obama kicks off a Southern California tour. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks a lot, John and Fry.